Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome. It is Eric Erickson here, the Eric Erickson Show, coronavirus free zone right now. We got other stuff to talk about, and honestly, I'm tired of talking about it. We'll get to it because there is news. We will get there. But I'm just kind of, man, is there other stuff we can talk about? I assume that there is. I hope that there is. I want there to be. And it is my job to try to find that news. And honestly, the big news right now is that Joe Biden is dominating Bernie Sanders. I mean, at this point, there's no path forward for Bernie Sanders. It's just not going to happen. And the reason it's not going to happen is he's not going to be able to pick up delegates. He even thought he might be able to pick up delegates in Michigan. And, you know, what happened with Joe Biden in Michigan last night kind of yet again proves that the Russians did not steal the election in 2016. Joe Biden crushed Joe Biden in Michigan last night. Now, 4 years ago in the polling, Hillary Clinton had a 20-some-odd point lead against Bernie Sanders in Michigan in the polling average. That is, all of the polls together combined, Hillary Clinton was ahead of Bernie Sanders by actually, I think it was 23 points. And Sanders crushed her. It was a huge upset that suggested something was not right with the Clinton campaign. And it took the entire Democratic Party mobilizing along with the superdelegates to stop Bernie Sanders after that. It became a very big deal. And Hillary couldn't do it. All of the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't get Hillary over the finish line in November. And first they blamed James Comey, and then they blamed the Russians. They've never blamed Donald Trump, and they've never blamed Hillary Clinton. But this kind of exposes what happened last night, because Joe Biden also had a 20-some point lead in the polling margin against Bernie Sanders in Michigan and just absolutely crushed Sanders. I mean, just crushed him. And it is very notable and very telling that the Clinton team is remarkably silent today as reporters begin to point that out. Biden won Idaho with 49%, Michigan with 53% of the vote, Mississippi with 81% of the vote, Montana with 60% of the vote. Bernie Sanders is going to get North Dakota with 53%, and it looks like in Washington state, it's too close to call, but leaning Bernie Sanders 32.7 to 32.5% of the vote, 67% reporting as the votes come in. Now, the delegate count for the Democrats, he needed 1,991 to win outright. Joe Biden's got 838. Bernie Sanders has 675. That's a big deal. And you know what a lot of progressives are this morning? They're livid with Elizabeth Warren. They believe if Elizabeth Warren would have united with Bernie Sanders, that Bernie would be on the victory's end. And it's not the case. Now, I guess I should give you the phone number here if I didn't do that. 877-973-7425. 877-973-7425. If you want to call in, I'm going to get to the virus stuff later because there is news we do need to get to. It is news. But I feel like I know we have spent so much time talking about it that other stuff has been set aside, and we need to really focus on some of the other stuff right now. And there's other big news out there as well. I find it remarkable, honestly, that in a 24-hour news cycle, Americans know less than they did when we just had ABC, CBS, NBC, and PBS. The media these days, 24-hour news cycle, single-mindedly focused on a handful of stories, and I don't want to do that if I can help it. The big news actually in all of the newspapers and on all the headlines today and all the TV outlets, Democrats are breathing a sigh of relief that it appears they've completely stopped Bernie Sanders at this point. Notably, it's young people who are to blame. Or you can say it's old people who get the credit. But the consistent story for Bernie Sanders is that young people, his coalition, they're not actually showing up to vote. And so now the pressure is building to get Sanders out of the way so the Democrats can go on and unite for Joe Biden. You know, the irony here is that Bernie Sanders for 4 years has said that he would build a multiracial, multigenerational coalition that would stop Donald Trump. And he has done that in the primary. We haven't gotten to stopping Donald Trump yet. But Bernie Sanders has built a multiracial, multigenerational, multi-ethnic coalition for Joe Biden. The suburbs and black voters in the inner city turned out overwhelmingly in Michigan to stop Bernie Sanders. Asian voters, Hispanic voters, with the exception, actually, Hispanic voters are tending towards Bernie Sanders, but it's a 50-50 split. And the only class of people who aren't voting for Joe Biden in significant numbers are young people, millennials and the older, what do they call it, Gen Z. I guess Gen Z is turning 21 technically and is able to vote 18 to 21. But it's the super young who are voting for Bernie Sanders. And it's the Gen X, the boomers and the really old people who are turning up and voting for Joe Biden. They're stopping Bernie Sanders. And young people are really upset about it. And the Democrats, honest to goodness, the Democrats are starting to look at this and they're starting to think, why do we bother? These people don't show up. When they show up, they embarrass us. So why should we take them seriously? Now, there are warning signs, though, for this Biden coalition as they move forward. And those of us on the right can look at this and laugh to a degree. Listen to Van Jones. Serious warning signals for the Democrats.
I think this is a very dangerous moment for the Democratic Party. You have now an insurgency that's about to be defeated. What do you do with the people that you defeat? There was a hope on the part of a lot of young people. They had a champion. You got young people who are graduating with $250,000 in debt. You got young people with a lot of pain, and they had a champion. Mm-hmm. And they thought that they were going to be able to surround a divided establishment with their movement, crush that divided establishment, and move forward. Instead, the establishment united and stopped them. Now what do you do? Last time Bernie Sanders got beaten, there was an assumption that all these people were just going to fall in line and vote against Trump. And there was not enough care for the concern and the pain of his base. I think tonight there's going to be a lot of crowing, a lot of relief on the part of the establishment. But keep it temperate and turn. Turn to those people and say, we want to be your champion. Yeah. If you don't do that, you're going to have a Pyrrhic victory.
It's true. Now, here's the lay of the land coming forward. In fact, let me go. If you've ever wanted to know where I get this stuff, it's. I don't have any sort of Gnostic knowledge. I'm not a genius. I know where to look for this information and be able to relay it to you guys. And there's a great website called 270 to win. And it's the number 270 and the word win.com, 270 to win. Now, why is it called 270 to win? Well, to win the general election, you need 270 electoral college votes. One of the things that this website does is it outlines the lay of the land. So you get a sense of where things come up. So here's what happens next week. You have Arizona, Florida, Illinois, and Ohio, their primaries. And then on March 24th, all by itself, you have Georgia, the Georgia primary. Starting in April 4th, you have Alaska, Hawaii, Louisiana, and Wyoming. And then April 7th, you have Wisconsin. April 28th, Connecticut, Delaware, Maryland, New York, Pennsylvania, and Rhode Island. The interesting one is Florida coming up next week. It's got a lot of electoral college votes, and therefore it has a lot of delegates to the Democratic Party. And right now, Joe Biden in the polling averages has a 41%, is 41% to 17% with Bernie Sanders. That really makes it possible for Joe Biden to consolidate and get a significant amount of delegates there. In fact, the pledged estimate at 270 to win, and they're pretty good about this, is 150 delegates. You're putting Joe Biden into 1,000 delegate count, and he's going to be hard to beat if you're Bernie Sanders. Real hard to beat if you're Bernie Sanders at that point. So the Democrats right now have to do something difficult. This is the reason I give you the calendar and the lay of the land again. You've got coming up Arizona, Florida, Illinois, Ohio, and Georgia this month. Joe Biden has got to now turn his ship away from Bernie Sanders towards Donald Trump, without causing himself to lose primary delegates to Bernie Sanders, while also making himself look like he's the general election nominee. That's not actually an easy task. One of the things that Biden probably could and should do is there's an Arizona debate coming up, and he probably ought to bail on the debate. There's no reason for a debate at this point. There's no reason for the Democrats to go through with it. They're not, by the way, the Democratic Party has announced there's not going to be an audience for the debate. Because of the virus, they're not going to have an audience, so it's going to be a moderator with Bernie and Joe. And a moderator with Bernie and Joe is going to be a debate that a lot of people probably are going to get bored with, but it also does this. It doesn't allow either candidate to feed off the crowd. And political candidates, whether you're Donald Trump or Joe Biden or Bernie Sanders, to some degree you feed off the crowd. And if the crowd is energetic, you get energetic in the debate. Seeing two septuagenarians on a stage with just a moderator and no one, and they don't neither of them have the energy or charisma of Donald Trump, you're going to put people asleep. But it also allows Joe Biden to make missteps. I want to go back to this audio. I played it the other day. This is from Helene Cooper. She's a Democrat. She was on TV. She said this about Joe Biden wrapping up the nomination.
It really seems as if, though, the everything provided we don't have a major Biden gaffe in the next couple of weeks. It feels as if all the stacks are in his favor now.
If we don't have another major Biden gaffe in the next few weeks, Biden makes gaffes. Biden has always made gaffes. And making a campaign gaffe on a debate stage when Bernie Sanders is there to eat your lunch probably is not a wise thing. I will be curious to see if they actually go through with it. I'll be curious to see if the Democrats actually decide, you know what, we're going to have the Bernie Sanders-Joe Biden race. We're going to have the Bernie Sanders-Joe Biden debate. We're going to have the primary the way it's been. Will they urge Bernie Sanders to get out? Bernie Sanders says he's staying through. Listen, he's a communist true believer. Of course he wants to stay through. But fewer and fewer of his voters are showing up, and the young voters who were his base are not showing up at all. They haven't been showing up to begin with. And young voters, you know one thing young voters like? Young voters like a winner. And if Bernie Sanders is not their winner, if Bernie Sanders is not the guy who can help them, if Bernie Sanders is the guy who can't make these young people look like they're siding with the winner, they're not going to go turn out for him at all. I mean, they're already not turning out for him at high rates, but they're seriously not going to keep turning out for Bernie Sanders at this point. I mean, the guy looks like a loser. And let me play this audio from Terry Moran from ABC News, who was at a Sanders event.
So here, this is a pretty good turnout for a watch party, which is essentially what it is here in Detroit. And there's undoubtedly a sense of disappointment. You can hear it. Some people talking about the corruption of the Democratic Party, what they see as the establishment getting behind Joe Biden. But most people having a sense, you know, he's run the race. He's run the good race, Bernie Sanders has, and changed the way Democrats think about health care and other issues as well. The question is, will they vote? Will they fight for a Joe Biden candidacy? Many are very worried. You talk to people, they're worried about what they fear is Trump will slice Joe Biden up in debate because they sense a feebleness, frankly, in Joe Biden, as do a lot of voters, as does the Trump campaign. We'll see if that comes about.
You know, it's very interesting. In fact, let me, my buddy Jason Howerton, let me get on Twitter and pull back up his tweet because it is a perfect encapsulation of what's going on right now with the media when it comes to this. I wrote my morning piece about this. Where do we go here? He put this up. Brian Stelter. This is Brian Stelter's tweet from last night. Tonight, like every other night, Fox's primetime shows have been deriding Biden and airing doubts about his capacity using short video clips. Now Biden is speaking live about his primary victories and Fox isn't showing his speech. Here's Brian Stelter from last year. Trump's mental health keeps being invoked by commentators online and on TV. The volume is much louder as of late. That was Brian Stelter then. So Brian Stelter last month thought it was really a bad thing, or actually really a good thing, that so many people are questioning the competence, the mental health of Donald Trump. And now suddenly thinks, oh, it's a Fox News thing to question Biden's mental capacity. No, it's been going on with Donald Trump, with people in the media for a while now. And now suddenly the media is acting like no one's ever done that. None of us have ever done that. Hypocrisy in the press. It really is, as Jason pointed out in pulling up these two Brian Stelter clips, it really shouldn't be that easy. And yet it continues to be that easy. Trump breaks a lot of people. Actually, he doesn't actually break them. He exposes their inner core. For better or for worse, he exposes a lot of people and a lot of members of the media. Look at the media now pushing the coronavirus is a racist, saying the Wuhan virus is racist. The New York Times, throughout January and into February, was running headlines constantly about the Wuhan virus or the Wuhan coronavirus or the Chinese coronavirus. Now suddenly saying it's racist to use that. Why? Why, other than the communist Chinese complained and Donald Trump's team is doing it to push back on the Chinese? There's actually a reason. We'll get into that later. I don't want to get to the virus right now. When we come back, though, Joe Biden and the auto worker. We need to discuss it, except I can't play you the audio.
Want to be on the show? Call Eric now at 877-97-ERIC. That's 877-973-7425.
Well, the governor of Florida has just imposed an executive declaration against price gouging. Y'all, I'm opposed to the government opposing price gouging. You know what price gouging is? It is capitalism and the free markets at work to control supply with ever-increasing demand. If you're having to buy toilet paper for $20 and you've already got a stack at home, the odds are you're not going to buy $20 toilet paper. And there are actually runs on toilet paper. There are empty shelves at grocery stores all over Georgia of toilet paper and bleach and hand sanitizer and cleaning wipes and things like that, as people are stockpiling and they're never going to use it. And if you got the money, I guess go for it. But I think that grocery stores at times like this should be incentivizing skyrocketing prices and to keep people from making runs on stuff they don't actually need and are going to waste and throw stuff away. We'll get there, though. Let me play you part of this Joe Biden stuff. Joe Biden was confronted by an auto worker about the Second Amendment. And Biden, of course, wants to take away guns. He called the AR-15 the AR-14. And then he told the voter he was full of excrement, except he said the word. And, of course, the Fox News has been showing the clip of Biden threatening to assault the person, cussing him out and all this stuff. And the rest of the media really circling the wagon on Biden shows you exactly what we're going to get in the general election. The media is going to bend over backwards to try to protect Joe Biden. Here is Kate Bedingfield, Biden's spokeswoman, talking about the situation.
So much different tone. I assume he's talking about AR-15s there and getting into a Second Amendment battle with that voter. What do you think of that? Obviously, the campaign aide was trying to move him along at that moment.
Listen, there is a lot of misinformation, unfortunately, in campaigns these days. We see it from every corner. And I think what Biden was saying there is, I'm not going to allow somebody to distort my record. I'm going to be crystal clear about where I stand. I think that that's what voters are looking for. I think that's what Democrats want. You know, I think it is, unfortunately, Donald Trump has shown us that he is going to try to run a bruising campaign that's going to be largely built on misinformation and disinformation. And I think what you saw from Biden in that exchange is that he's not going to take that. And again, I think that's what Democratic voters are looking for, a straight shooter who is going to be clear about where he stands and is not going to allow somebody to distort his record or misrepresent where he is.
The voter wasn't distorting Biden's record. He was accurately pointing out that Biden actually told Beto O'Rourke he was in favor of rounding up people's guns. Biden actually did that. And then in the process, you know, you had this campaign staffer trying to shoo Biden away. And again, I can't play you the actual audio because Biden cusses so much in it. We would have to bleep the whole thing out. Clearly hostile to the person. And you know what's so funny here as an aside? We got a bunch of people who are saying, we need normalization. We need normalization. Joe Biden's going to bring us back to sound, sane politics. And then Biden does what he does, loses his mind, completely misspeaks in his argle bargle, and the media's like, oh, well, Trump, you like Trump. I mean, you're defending Trump. How can you attack Biden on this? Well, you are the people saying that Joe Biden is going to return us to normalcy. I'll tell you what's going to happen. The end result of campaign 2020 is that the media trust is at like 7% right now. It's going to be zero by the time we get to November. No one's going to believe anything they hear in the media, largely because of the media itself. It is Eric Erickson here. The phone number, 877-97-ERIC, 877-973-7425. Just as a reminder, I did interview Jason Thacker yesterday. His really fantastic book is out, The Age of AI. It is about artificial intelligence and the rise of people's concern about the rise of machines and where does AI fit in the world today and things like that. It's actually a very, very good book. And you can get it if you text the word data to 33777. Text data to 33777 and you will be able to access his book. I really can't recommend it enough. It's a great book. He's a good guy. And if you text data to 33777, in addition to getting the book, what you will also get is a link to that Johns Hopkins website that shows the spread of the coronavirus. I should note, even though I don't want to really talk about it right now, the coronavirus, we now got more than 1,000 cases in the United States. We've got some serious shortages in American grocery stores. I got on Amazon this morning, actually, and then the Walmart site, and man, everybody is out of toilet paper, everybody's out of hand sanitizer, everybody's out of Clorox wipes, everybody's out of bleach. It's actually really interesting to see the panic buying of people. And you know what happens is people start panic buying, and then once they start panic buying, they cause people who actually realize they're running short on stuff to go try to buy stuff. And then that builds the cycle of people running out. I actually saw somebody yesterday from New York City was on social media saying, I'm so tired of people panic buying toilet paper. What about those of us who need normal buying toilet paper? So that's kind of the way it is. Now, the Biden gaffes, can we talk about these for just a moment? The media is downplaying the Biden gaffes. And they've been upplaying for 4 years every Donald Trump gaffe. And now that the Trump campaign is playing up the Biden gaffes, the media is beside themselves claiming that the Trump campaign is trying to question the mental capacity of Joe Biden. Well, of course they're trying to question the mental capacity of Joe Biden. Of course they are, because it's relevant and it's fair game. And let me make some of you mad here, and I don't intend to, but I try to be fair with this stuff. I'm an equal opportunity hater. How about that? It has been fair game these 4 years to point out the president seems occasionally to have some issues. Whether or not it was, you can say calling Tim Cook of Apple, Tim Apple, was just a slip of the tongue, which I think it was. The media has played that up, though. The president's irrational anger at other people, oftentimes not their fault for stuff, they're fair game. The president's behavior in general can be fair game. But if the president's behavior in general is fair game, so too is Joe Biden's behavior. And there's a big difference in my mind between the two. And it's this. For all of Donald Trump's faults, and he has many, and we should go on and be intellectually honest and recognize them, he's got many faults. Donald Trump's faults have been consistent before he was president and after he was president. Donald Trump has always been braggadocious. He's always been thin-skinned. He has always been about loyalty. He's always been about what he can do for his friends so that his friends can do things for him. He's always been about these things. Donald Trump, if you've ever watched The Apprentice, has always said some kind of crazy things. He's always done this. Joe Biden has not. So if anything, Donald Trump's behavior, it hasn't changed, and it really hasn't gotten worse. It's been consistent. And so it was baked into the equation in 2016. The Donald Trump that you are dealing with today is the Donald Trump that was on the ballot in 2016. The Joe Biden that we are dealing with today is not the Joe Biden of 2016, Barack Obama's vice president. The Joe Biden of today is not the Joe Biden of 2009. The Joe Biden of today is not the Joe Biden of just a couple of years ago. There is clearly something going on with Joe Biden. Some people, myself included, have said his campaign has struck us as elder abuse in the last couple of months, seeing people dragging Joe Biden on stage, telling him where he is, leading him around. Listen, I understand there are a lot of people who really don't like Donald Trump. And I think that Trump supporters who very much like Donald Trump underestimate the appeal of "I'm not Donald Trump, vote for me." Because there are a lot of Americans who will vote for Joe Biden simply because they don't like Donald Trump. But it actually is really funny to me to see the same people who for 4 years have criticized Donald Trump's behavior and questioned his mental capacity and mental health to suddenly say, "Oh yeah, Joe Biden, he's fine. Let's go with Joe Biden. He's not Donald Trump. Let's go with him." Now, it is also funny to see the people who have given Donald Trump a pass for 4 years suddenly be like, "Oh, there's something wrong with Joe Biden." But in those people's favor, the Donald Trump we have today is no different from the Donald Trump of even 5 years ago, 10 years ago. Unlike virtually every single person who is listening to me right now, I've actually hung out with Donald Trump. I actually, back in, I guess it was 2011, went up to his office in New York and conducted an interview, about an hour-long interview with Donald Trump. Did a live stream. A book had come out. They asked me to come up, did an interview with him. And, you know, the Donald Trump that I interacted with in 2015 on the campaign trail was the Donald Trump of 2011. The Donald Trump I see today in the White House is the Donald Trump of 2011. He hasn't changed. He's certainly gotten older, but he hadn't changed mentally. He hasn't changed. Behaviorally, he hasn't changed. The Joe Biden of today, one, looks like he's had some work done. And also, the Joe Biden of today looks not quite up to the task of being president. And if you think that Donald Trump is not quite up to the task of being president, then surely you got to look at Joe Biden and say, this guy doesn't even know what state he's in. He doesn't even know what race he's running for. He doesn't know who he's helping. In just the past week alone, Joe Biden has on multiple occasions gotten wrong the state he was campaigning in, which is understandable if you are a candidate for office and you're barnstorming the nation and you're in a new state every few hours. At his age, of course, you're going to get confused. Give him a pass on that one. But he's also said now more than once that he's running for the United States Senate as opposed to running for president. He's also now said he wanted to help Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats take back the House of Representatives as if he didn't know that they were already in charge. There is a there. There is something wrong there. And none of us should be dismissive of it. And I find it incredible how many people are dismissive of it. In large part, they're dismissive of it because of their hatred of Donald Trump. And look, that's fair. If you hate the president that much, that's totally fair. But if you're in the media, if you're in the media and you've spent 4 years playing this stuff up on Donald Trump, to do a complete pass of Joe Biden shows people. It shows people that you actually are dishonest intellectually. It shows people that you are the pick for one side. It shows people you have a team. And that's what's happening right now with these people. That's what's happening right now with the Democrats. That's what's happening with the press. Has been trying out robot umpires for balls and strikes. You know, when a ball is coming 90 to 100 miles an hour, it may be a curveball and whatnot, it's not necessarily the case that the human umpires are going to be able to tell really whether it's a ball or a strike. And oftentimes what we see is TV networks put up the grid to show the strike zone, and it goes outside the strike zone and they call it a strike, or it goes inside the strike zone and they call it a ball. Umpires are humans. Humans are frail creatures, so to speak. And they're thinking, why don't we use robots? We'll use robots to call balls and strikes. The umpires can be on the field, but it'll be the computers that call the balls and strikes from the pitcher. And there's in the drip, drip, drip of these sorts of stories, there's another story that's come out that why don't we have AI judges? Instead of having human judges, let's use artificial intelligence. We can create algorithms on the blockchain, fueled by cryptocurrency, no doubt, where the AI will determine, because the AI is without emotion, it's not going to discriminate against a minority. It'll just hear the facts and process the case in the computer. Boop, guilty. Or I'm sorry, guilty. But you know what's so funny here, just as an aside, a complete tangential thing here, is that if you listen to Google employees, they say that you got to have minorities participate in writing the algorithm. Otherwise, the algorithm will be biased against minorities, even though it's just an algorithm. So are you going to have minorities help write the computer code for the artificial judge, artificial intelligence judge, to make sure it's not a racist robot? How can it be a racist robot? You know, there actually there's another story out there. Some stores are banning black pumpkins because they say it's racist. I wish I was kidding. And that's actually news. It's news because so many of Yang's supporters decided they were going to go for they were going to go for Bernie Sanders, and they didn't. And now what about Elizabeth Warren? What's she going to do with her supporters? The Warren supporters are Bernie supporters. In fact, Elizabeth Warren's campaign team sent out a message. Team Warren is Team Sanders. That's what they said. But you know who wasn't Team Sanders? Elizabeth Warren. Where was she? She wasn't on the playing field. She wasn't anywhere. She, Elizabeth Warren, decided that she was going to stay on the sidelines and keep her mouth shut and see how this played out. With a level of opportunism that anyone who actually has paid attention to the real Elizabeth Warren has realized all along, she's an opportunist. She is certainly of the left, but she is more than anything else an opportunist. And that's why the voters didn't like her. Her campaign can double down on sexism. It's all sexism. Y'all, if someone is unlikable, it doesn't matter whether a man or a woman. They're just unlikable. It has absolutely nothing to do with her being a it has nothing to do with her being a progressive. It has nothing to do with her being on the left. It just has to do with the fact that she's an unlikable person. And unlikable people are unlikable people, whether they are male or female. Elizabeth Warren has won nothing because she's unlikable. Elizabeth Warren has won nothing because she's an opportunist. Elizabeth Warren has won nothing because she's paid more attention to what people were saying on social media than any core underlying conviction. She really doesn't have anything other than growing government. And as much as the media bellyached and tried to make her happen, she didn't happen. And then when Bernie Sanders could have used her help, she sat on the sidelines while her staffers began to attack Pete Buttigieg and Joe Biden. Her staffers went for Bernie Sanders. And now where are they going to go? I don't know that they're going to be able to go anywhere except to Joe Biden. And now the question is, will they sit home? Interestingly enough, exit polling from Michigan last night, a must-win state for both candidates, shows that Bernie Sanders, 19% of his supporters say if he's not the nominee, they're not voting in November. 19% of Sanders supporters said if he's not the nominee, they're not voting in November. That's enough to ensure that Donald Trump wins Michigan. This is why the Trump team is so invested in the idea of making Sanders supporters believe Joe Biden and the Democrats have stolen it from him. They haven't actually done that, but Republicans played up the sentiment. I can't really blame them for playing up the sentiment. I mean, when you got 19% of Sanders supporters saying they're staying home if Sanders is the nominee, I'd do it. Might as well. And that's going to cost the Democrats Michigan. And, you know, by the way, there's polling out that has Donald Trump leading Joe Biden in Michigan, Wisconsin, and Pennsylvania, the three must-win states. The Democrats need to win those states, and Joe Biden's already behind. This reminds me of 2004 with a couple of distinct differences, and we should discuss those when we come back. If I can actually reroute myself and make you guys hear me on the way out. We're having all sorts of technical difficulties around here this morning, aren't we? My goodness gracious. It's just a mess in the house right now. We've got, let's see here. I have had to reboot my computer twice. While I've been talking to you guys, believe it or not, I've been rebooting my computer because the sound and everything else is completely offline. Nothing seems to work. And I'm afraid that I'm going to have to reboot again, and my mixer and everything is broken. So, Jim, down the line, if you can play the outro, that's fine. Otherwise, we just got to go to commercial because everything has frozen in the studio this morning. Ah, argle, bargle, blah. Welcome. It is Eric Erickson. Y'all, sorry, we're having the satellites having issues. The connections in the studio are having issues. The computer, it is Gremlin. It is Gremlin Wednesday. I can tell you what it is. All the bugs and kinks and gremlins, that they have no toilet paper and hand sanitizer, so they got lots of time on their hands, and they're messing with the show this morning. Goodness gracious. Now, let's move on from Sanders and Biden and get into the president, who has endorsed Tommy Tuberville. Tommy Tuberville was the Auburn coach. He's running in the Senate in Alabama. Whoever wins the Republican runoff in Alabama between Jeff Sessions and Tommy Tuberville is going to win. Tuberville has a big polling lead, and the president has endorsed him. Now, here's a problem. I understand the president is tired of Jeff Sessions and doesn't want Sessions back into the Senate. I totally get that. But Sessions is actually a better conservative than Donald Trump. And there are ample videos out there of Tommy Tuberville on the campaign trail attacking President Trump for being incompetent, for being bad on immigration, for opposing allowing people into this country. If you're a supporter of amnesty and open borders, then you probably are a Tuberville supporter. But if you actually want some immigration restrictions and you want to be tough on crime, then Sessions is your guy. But Sessions is probably now going to lose because Sessions is opposed by Donald Trump. And that is kind of funny to me, that the guy who is most likely to support the president and his agenda long term is the guy being opposed by the president of Alabama. But now, the president, I understand his reasoning here. I understand why he doesn't want Sessions back. He feels like Sessions betrayed him. He's very upset about it. But conservatives really aren't pleased with the whole situation. Now, I do need to bring you a couple of updates statewide, some things we do need to talk about that are virus related. I've tried to mostly avoid the virus. It is the dominant news again this morning. The markets are sucking this morning. Philip tells me it's Tuberville. I've been saying Tuberville. Why not? He's from Auburn. I can pronounce it however I want. So the Dow is down 776 points. NASDAQ is down 203. The S&P down 81. It's another bad day on Wall Street as we are rapidly entering bear market territory. It's a problem. The president is coming up with an economic stimulus. We will get there. We will get there. For I'm sure you've been waiting with bated breath for the virus. I got to tell you, I got an email from a listener yesterday. I am way too accessible to my listeners, and that's fine. I like to. You want to know somebody who is super, super accessible to his listeners? Rush Limbaugh. You actually can email whatever. What is his email address now? Lrushbo at EIBnet or whatever. It changes every once in a while. But he actually reads those emails. That's the way that Rush and I actually first connected, is I sent an email to that email address. And I didn't really think he would read it. I thought someone else would read it and maybe pass it on to him. And he wrote back. And he wrote back minutes later. He was on checking his emails, and that went through. He recognized my name and replied. He does this with listeners and has done it with listeners for years. And it's remarkable that he's that accessible, and that's kind of one reason I do it. But nonetheless, I did get an email from a listener last night, and it was a lady, and she said, I am really tired of hearing about the coronavirus stuff. Can you please talk about something else? And it's always is. So just to give you a peek behind the curtain here, I've got my producer, Charlie, who also screens phones. If you call the show, you'll talk to Charlie. Much like if you call Rush's show, you'll talk to Bo Snerdly. And every morning I get up and we have a service that goes through and compiles all the news of the day and all the juicy sound bites. And I will send those, the ones that I want, to Charlie. And sometimes I play all of them. And sometimes there have been days where I've actually forgotten to play any of them. Most days I'll play most of them, depending on what the news of the day is. But otherwise, I sit at my kitchen counter, caffeinating myself while I go through all the news of the day from all over the world, and build the show, and I outline the show, and I want to do this topic, this topic, this topic, and occasionally I'll rearrange stuff before I get in here, and inevitably I get in here, and the topics that I actually talk about are not actually on the sheet. Philip, who runs the web stuff for me with the Resurgent and stuff, he's kind of the operations director for everything that I do. Philip will send out a push alert or an email to the email list saying the show is live, and typically we have a video stream. I've had to turn it off because the internet is also one of the things buggy here this morning, and he'll typically include the outline of the show. Well, inevitably, when I get in here, the outline of the show is completely different, but I've been really mindful because this lady's not alone. We've heard it from callers. I hear it in public. I heard it at Publix the other day when I was over there grocery shopping. Someone who listens to the show told me it's really just we're worn out talking about the coronavirus. It doesn't seem like that's a big deal. That may be changing in the psyche given the toilet paper runs and stuff. But so I wanted to cover all the other news of the day before I get into it. And there is stuff about the virus we do need to get into. It is relevant, the president's economic plan. We do need to talk about that. But right now I want you to know the important stuff. St. Patrick's Day is on in Savannah. The mayor of Savannah said they have met, they have considered it. They are planning on continuing the St. Patrick's Day celebrations. Everyone's going to be so covered in alcohol down there, it's probably not going to matter anyway. This virus is going to go to Savannah and say, I think we're going to go somewhere else instead. They'll go to Pooler instead of Savannah. But it is a big deal that the Savannah celebration for St. Patrick's Day is still on. Ireland has canceled all St. Patrick's Day celebrations to try to contain the virus. And the Masters are still on. Thank goodness. I am the Thursday of the Masters. I'm going to be back from spring break for a few days, and I'm bailing on you people to go to the Masters. I've never been, and I'm not missing the opportunity. I am absolutely going to the Masters. Thankfully, it's still going to be up and running. We hope. We will see. Time could tell. Things could change. But right now, it's all still on. When we come back, we got to get into the Georgia Senate race.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.